Birding is for everyone, that's what you should know. It's a recreational activity that has lots of room to grow.
Thank you for tuning into Hannah and Eric Go Birding, a podcast by birders for birders.
I'm Hannah and he's Eric.
We created this podcast to share adventures, sometimes misadventures, and opinions that we have on different birding topics. We're definitely not experts, and anything that we discuss that might be controversial, we want you to remember, they're our own opinions, and they might be different from yours. So even though it's middle of... end of January-ish?
Yeah.
Middle of January? I don't know what you consider
this. End of January.
The 25th, I mean, who knows? That could be any part of January.
Wow.
We've got really nice weather.
I guess if you call the middle, like, the 2nd through the 30th.
I think it's the 2nd to the 30th. It's the middle of January.
Oh, okay.
And then the 31st is the end, and the 1st is the beginning.
Well, I'm glad we've cleared that all up.
Math. So, it is spectacular weather here on the Oregon coast.
Yeah, but it's weird weather throughout the country. I mean, that Houston tornado.
Oh my gosh.
Yesterday. Yeah, oh, geez. And we've had four whales wash up with king tides. That is just peculiar.
Yeah, there's weird things happening.
A lot of weird things.
So, our weather's nice, but it's not normally nice, so that's weird.
Yeah. But I'm happy to see the sun.
Yeah, happy to see the sun.
I'm happy for the sun. This is copyrighted. I'm just kidding. yeah. So anyways, we hope that you have a little bit of sunshine where you're at.
Yeah. So, last episode we talked a bunch about, travel and, all that stuff, carbon footprint. We got a lot of feedback from emails, tons and tons of emails about it. And we wanted to thank everyone that took their time to write us a personal message about, their thoughts, on the subject. And
yeah, some people, you know, talked about how they made the conscious decision not to travel, to try to reduce their footprint. Other people were like, I'm with you guys and, you know, travel, as sustainably as I possibly can and try to mitigate, you know, other impacts. So yeah, it was interesting to see everyone's, comments about
that.
Yeah,
so it was nice to see a bunch of opinions, but I mean, there was, I don't know, probably 3 dozen, 4 dozen emails that we received about that, just all over the place.
So, other news that we wanted to mention, we've had some groups reach out to us for events recently, which is very cool.
Yeah.
So, in addition, I guess we have the upcoming travel that we'll mention, but how about some, like, upcoming local things that we're planning on doing?
Some upcoming local stuff. So,
if you happen to be on the Oregon coast,
yeah,
then maybe you can participate with us.
Yeah, so the Lower Nehalem Community Trust is... doing, I think it's a migratory bird event, in March.
The Tillamook County, so the county that's just south of us, they have this whole thing called Explore Nature.
Yeah.
In which, it's a, you know, handful of different, environmental organizations that offer events. So like they're environmental organizations that don't necessarily do like a whole lot of education and that's just not, you know, the priority of their mission.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an opportunity for them to try to synergize together and do, each do like a couple events, but then, you know, help advertise each other's.
So. Yeah. Yeah. So these are mostly conservation organizations that don't do a lot of education.
Yeah. So, Lower Nehalem Community Trust, it looks like we'll be doing a bird walk out there on March 11th.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. The Wings Over Willapaw group, which is just north of us into southwest Washington, will be out there February 10th through the 11th doing a presentation and a bird walk.
Yeah, so coming up in mid-spring-ish time frame, Raptor Ridge reached out to us, and they really want us to come down and do something for them in terms of birds. They do something for birds every year. If you guys remember back about a year ago, June-ish last year, we went down there, had some wine, talked to them about birds. Talk what they're doing about bird conservation on their property. And so they reached out and they want to do something again this year in like the April, May, June, somewhere around that time frame.
Yeah, so hopefully we can get that worked out. And then folks in the Portland area maybe can join us for some wine and for birds.
Yeah, that'd be super cool.
Yeah.
So, Hannah had an episode.
I did.
If anybody doesn't know, Hannah hosts another podcast. She's a very busy woman. Women Birders Happy Hour. And you interviewed somebody.
Yeah.
Like you do every other week.
Yeah. So, I interviewed Stephanie Bilkey, who is a conservation ecologist with Audubon Great Lakes. And it was a lot of fun to talk with her and especially hear her story about seeing black terns, which ended up being the drink of the episode. So, check that out anywhere you listen to podcasts. And then we have some travel coming up that we always want to mention because we hope that you will, you know, pop up and say hi.
if you're already there, if you're going to travel there, however you end up there, then you could say, you'll know we're there and you could say hi.
Yeah. Or avoid us if you'd like.
Yeah. I mean, either way.
So the San Diego Bird Fest in February, which we're super excited about. We're hosting a social as part of that on Saturday night.
The details are coming together.
It's actually a month away. I'm a little stressed out. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Champions of the Flyway in March in Eilat, Israel, you know, like we went last year, and mm-hmm. we do our fundraising for our team. So if you're interested, you know, we'll post that in the show notes and you can check it out if you'd like.
Is it late enough now I can announce what my team is, or am I still, I don't know where I'm at. And
you haven't even contacted them, so you need to that together.
I'll email my team and find out if I can start advertising my team. But I'm on a team, and Hannah's on the team that she's been on the last couple of years.
The Women in Step. Yeah. Then we'll head to Galveston for Featherfest in April. Very excited about that. You know, get a chance to go out to High Island and do some of that stuff that we really enjoy.
Yeah.
The Birdiest Festival in America in Corpus Christi is just the weekend after Featherfest. And then, of course, Global Bird Fair in Rutland, UK. So glad we got our hotel reservations, because I don't think there's anything left.
You could probably find something. Maybe. I mean, you're going to be driving now a good distance. Nothing super close to the fairgrounds looks like it's available.
And then
get snatched up quick.
Yeah. And then, of course, the International Conference for Women Birders Conference in Uganda. That'll be in December, and I'm really looking forward to that. Been working really hard with folks about putting that together, so I can't wait.
Yeah, super exciting. So January is, I guess, like we discussed, we're in mid-January, the mid-end January.
Uh-huh.
So it's time to announce our winner for the Bird Nerd giveaway for January. Yeah, so we asked everybody what their New Year's goals were for 2023, and the objective was to get as many answers as we could and randomly choose a winner to win a set of hummingbird greeting cards, photos that I took and printed off for an art event that we had. And I wanted to give some of those away to somebody that wanted to share their objectives for the year, their goals.
Well, thank you for your kind donation. we wanted to announce that, you know, we had a lot of great goals. Some were travel related. Some were just like to e-bird every day. Some were, you know, specific bird numbers that they wanted to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of fun to see the diversity of answers with that. But the randomly selected winner was
Joanne. She wants to see painted bunting when she goes or went to Florida. I'm not sure when her trip was in comparison to today, because she submitted this right after the episode came out.
Well, hopefully you saw or will see
and the painted bunting. Went, saw, or went, yeah. And then also to get some up close views of puffins when she goes to Alaska. She wasn't clear about which puffins she wants to see in Alaska. I mean, kind of seems like horned or tufted could be... Either one would make her happy.
Either
one would make me happy.
Yeah.
So, congratulations, Joanne. We'll be in contact to get you some set of hummingbird greeting cards.
Yeah, so check us out in February for the next Bird Nerd giveaway. So, getting into what we brought you all here today.
The main story.
There's someone on Instagram that I've been following for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and he's got the best handle. It's the Burning Beardsman, which I always thought should be like your handle because of your beard that you used to have
before you became
a firefighter.
I used to be the bearded birder on one of the social, I think it was, iNaturalist. I think that's the bearded birder is what I had.
Really?
And then now I'm the beardless birder. So it was close, the bearded birdsman.
Well, anyways.
That completely threw you off. So.
I think it's Birding Beardsman. Anyways.
Yes, anyways.
So Jason is the Birding Beardsman. Bearded Birdingsman. I don't know. And, you know, it's been so much fun to follow him and get to know him. And, you know, we've just kind of chatted on Instagram Messenger, you know, a bit. But he started the In Color Birding Club, you know, recently, mm-hmm. with the help of other folks. And it was to fill a need in his local community. And it's been so much fun to watch that grow, you know, on Instagram. And then, of course, you know, as it's spread off of Instagram into real life and, you know, has really made a huge impact in his community. And so we wanted to reach out to him to share what that impact has been.
Listening to Jason Hall talk all about how it started, what it is, and where he sees it going in the future.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Hannah and Eric Go Birding. We, you know, like I said before we started, been following the In Color Birding Club for a while, and you, of course, on Instagram, and just have enjoyed watching it blossom so much. So please, first off, can you tell us about yourself?
Yeah, thank you so much, Hannah and Erica. So happy to be here. As you said, my name is Jason Hall. I'm the founder of In Color Birding Club. I have been a birder since about 2001, started in high school, you know, with the amazing environmental science teacher that took us outside. But I love birds. And the only thing I love more than birds is the community around birds. And unfortunately, I don't get to do this full time. So full time, I spend my days in vaccine development and quality control. So been doing that since I graduated undergrad. So all my weekend hours and evening hours are spent, you know, typically, you know, with my family doing things or doing things for the bird club. So, I love birds. Like I love all of them. I don't know how better way to describe it to people. And I tell people all the time, there's something about seeing a bird that you've never seen before and having that moment to reflect on it. But the next level, like that meme where your head explodes, is putting someone else on the bird and watching them have the same reaction. There's nothing like that. And I think that's what drives me and what we do with In Color Birding Club.
I get that feeling completely. That's like the main, that's like more exciting than getting a lifer is getting somebody else a lifer, for me at least, like getting out there and being like, hey, that bird right there. And then their mind's blowing and then your mind's blowing. Cause it's like, you're watching it in their eyes that is the first time they've ever seen this super cool thing. That's like a painted bunting or maybe like over here, like a varied thrush or something, just something that's just like, oh
yeah. Varied thrush cool. is on my list, but I can say that I have serious FOMO listening to your podcast sometimes going out to Haystack Rock. And I'm just like, yo, this is ridiculous that people live in a place like that where like puffins are just hanging out, you know, like I don't understand.
We feel the same way about people with warblers though, because we have eight warblers that we maybe see. And I mean, the whole East Coast and warblers just is nuts.
Yeah. Our amazing lists are like two warblers. It's like, oh, we got two on our list today. That was a good warbler day. That was awesome.
And it's wild too, because the warblers you guys have that show up out here, like Townsends, people lose their minds, you know? So, and then, maybe not, I don't know if they go over that way towards you, but like the Kirtlands that show up when they come back down, you know, like, I don't think they end up out there with you guys, but
that'd be pretty cool.
It's interesting. Yeah. I think my favorite is people that come out from the PNW that see a cardinal and lose their mind, you know, like that's one of my favorite things. Cause it just reminds me of how beautiful that bird is. And that, oddly enough, those birds represent a level of diversity and excitement about someone being different that, you know, I think we want in all of our lives, right?
So. Yeah. Oh, for sure. So you mentioned that you're the founder of In Color Birding. Can you explain what In Color Birding Club is, like kind of what the genesis for the idea was, and then how far in depth you want to go with this?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, beginning of summer 2020, Black Birders Week, right, really coming at kind of a sharp point in history in this country around how we are addressing systemic inequality and racism in this country, right? And I myself was just blown away by the community that was created by Black Birders Week. And I, you know, on social media met so many other Black and Brown birders, right? And I was just like, I was saturated. I was so just energized, you know, between what was happening that week and then everything that came on from that week, right? That being the first one, you know, people are on podcasts, discovering new podcasts and new voices. And up until that point, I had never really, you know, I'd always considered myself the exception, right? When I was out, right? I, you know, like many Black and Brown folks, you get used to how you navigate the world, loving nature, right? And so it's just how your life was. But after that experience, I was like, oh, well, I just need to be like that. And I started kind of taking inventory of you know, the skill set I had built over the last 20 years, the places I was going, the people I was interacting with, and saying to myself, well, obviously there's a ton more black and brown birders out there. Why are we not all getting together and doing something, at least around Philly, right? And so I literally chewed on that idea for almost a year, right? So it wasn't until May of 2021 that we launched In Color Birding Club, right? And you know, myself and two of my friends, Jeff and Angela, and then follow on with Nicole, Katrina, Bernie, you know, we formed our kind of founding board and just kind of hit the ground running, right? And really it started with the idea of the Bird Club was to just create a joyful and accepting space, right? Like, we weren't trying to get out there and see the most rare birds or you know, do a whole bunch of chasing or anything like that. It was really about consistency. And we first started our partnerships with the Fairmount Park Conservancy and Valley Forge Park Alliance and just really local institutions that maybe didn't have a lot of birding programming, but at the time shared our vision around what we wanted to do. So that's kind of how we started. And there's no membership fees, you know, it's free to go on the outings. You know, we're still exploring how exactly we're going to do membership, but obviously we want to make it affordable for everyone, right? So you know, still chewing on that, but you know, luckily we've got a ton of donations and a couple grants, you know, and some things like that, so we're able to kind of exist and take our time with that. But the mission is really just to use birding as a way to introduce people to nature, impact our community through education, you know, really trying to help with, you know, getting teachers, particularly at mostly BIPOC schools, get them funding for transportation to get out on these field trips, right? In which case, a lot of them we will attend. And also, you know, the last piece of it is really conservation, right? So the idea of this is not, you know, the end goal for me, at least personally, is that years and years and years from now, we have a conservation scene that sets an example for maybe other STEM institutions and fields of study, right? That we don't have to have these conversations around why there's not as many black or brown folks involved in ornithology or bird conservation efforts, right? And the idea behind that is that, you know, you can't just leave bird outings, right? Like, we have to bring the things that you would typically see in the suburbs, right? Or at some of the bigger Audubon organizations or things like that. Why are we not bringing those into the city, into those black and brown communities, right? Why are they maybe not getting the same level of attention when it comes to, well, what are the birds coming through your space? What is going on in your space? Are there things we can do, even with the space we have available, which is limited for sure in Philly, to create better habitat for these creatures, you know, as they're migrating or as they come up here for winter or come down here for winter? You know, these are things that you just don't see a lot of, especially within Philadelphia County, you know, outside of the couple large green spaces that we have, right? And even in those, you know, I'd argue it's underserved. So, you know, education, access, you know, funding for different things. You know, obviously the birding and the joy and the community and all that other fun stuff is really going to be part of it. And, you know, the last piece being conservation. So, yeah, that's kind of the vision that we have. And, you know, outside of reading a really boring mission statement, you know, just, I think you guys kind of get the vibe of like, this can be a new way of building a outdoor nature-based organization, right? I guess. And that's one of the reasons why we certainly invite active allies, right? Like, and say, hey, you know, there's a level of consistency with allyship that is required, right? And the goal is not to have in, you know, however many years, organizations that are not cohesive, right? So like, the idea is we would have a fully diverse organization, right? But still maintaining our principles around our top focus being access for black and brown folks. And that takes effort, right? Because you can very easily slide into maybe the way that folks have done things in the past, right? Which are based in colonialism and white supremacy in many ways.
Yeah.
And so you have to fight against that, right? And really kind of keep resetting the standard with your attendees. And that's where a lot of the work comes in for me and for our, board of directors.
Yeah. So you mentioned, going back a couple topics within all of that. You mentioned about the membership, that you don't have a membership fee, which keeps it open, keeps it inclusive to those that don't have the funds to be able to pay that sort of thing. Is everything completely open to the public? If all they have to do is learn about the walk, and then they're welcome to come and join, be essentially a member of this?
Absolutely. So all of our walks are free. We partner with a lot of, like I said, local organizations around the city. So a couple different arboretums, some nature centers, obviously there's a national park, there's state parks, there's John Hines National Wildlife Refuge, the first urban refuge. So we partner with a lot of those organizations because they have such a great foundation in preserving the space. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are also, trying to take the step to figure out how to maybe break some of that old way of doing things, right? And see how they can make sure that their institution is absolutely being open and welcoming and providing agency and ownership to the Black and Brown folks in those spaces, right? And that's really great to see, right? I think every institution is moving at a separate pace there, but they're all doing fantastic. So the idea is, if there are already these institutions and they want to partner with us and, they're all over the city and, we can have some in each area of the city so that people can get to them. We want to make sure that outside of the transportation to get there and, maybe a cup of coffee in the morning, like folks don't have to spend a lot of money to participate. We provide binoculars, right? We work with Knox Provisions, right? And we have a set of binoculars that we give out to people while we're on the outings, right? And that's going to continue.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah. And it's interesting because then if we do open membership, you have to ask yourself, well, what is the benefit, right, to the membership? And you have to say, okay, well, I can't do this like other organizations. I can't say, oh, well, if you're a member, you get the magazine and you get a t-shirt and you get access to this special website. And all it's like, it kind of defeats the purpose of making it accessible, right? So we have to rethink, what does our membership provide, right? And so we're kind of working through some of that now, and even working with some other institutions in Philly to talk about maybe partnering on some of that. So like, hey, if you get a membership to ICBC, you also have a membership to this museum over here and this museum over here, and now you can take your kids there along with coming to our bird outings. Oh, and we're doing a program at that museum, and you can go behind the scenes and check out some bird specimens, right? Oh, like, yeah. There's some different ways of doing it, and I think it helps to keep it kind of local here. But we hope we can stay that way, and I think with the right level of support, we can.
That's awesome. So the folks that have come on most of your outings, are most of them birders?
Yeah. All of them are. Once they step foot in our outing, I tell them that they are a birder.
You stamp it on their shoulder.
Yeah, like notes. I tell them right off the bat. Like, yeah. If you got there and you looked up at the tree and you looked at the bird and your thought was, I wonder what that is, I hope someone tells me, you're officially a birder. Like, curiosity and willingness to be outdoors and explore is that's all you need. So a lot of folks are COVID birders. Starting in May of 2021, there was, a lot of folks looking for, something else to do. And birding was, is this time to shine, right? Because the birds didn't stop moving, and honestly probably had a better shot at moving once we were all indoors. So so a lot of folks, relatively new, but every outing we get someone that's, I always make people raise their hand that's never birded before. So showing them how to use the binoculars, really basic stuff like, okay, you have, if you're fortunate or privileged, like most of us are in this case, you have your full vision, you can hear, right? So in those cases, how do we start to identify birds? If you can't, how can we try and get you to a place where you can enjoy that space? So I think that's where, if you look at our demographics, they are probably more than 70% less than 40 years old, right? And probably close to 50% less than 30 years old.
Really?
Yeah. It's a good amount of young folks come out all the time.
All right.
Probably even split 50-50 men to women. I don't have demographics on our LGBTQ plus IA folks, but then again, I'm not, you know, peppering people with questions. I'm just saying, here's these binoculars, come enjoy the birds. I can say, you know, weirdly enough, on our Instagram, our demographic is 70% women, at least based on what Instagram collects, which is fantastic. And I think 75% less than, what's the range, like less than 44 years old or something like that. So it's, to me, it's a growing base of birders, right? And so I honestly, very rarely do we get like a 50 plus year old white guy on our on our outings. You know, I'm sure that says a lot, you know, maybe good and bad about, you know, certain yeah. things, but I love that, right? Because it's creating this new base of people that are going to be you know, future birders, future contributors to conservation efforts, future stewards of the land that they have here. And so that is how we like to keep it.
Yeah. Well, and not saying that some of the existing groups have specifically stymied any sort of that participation like that, but this is a place that that sort of participation can be encouraged, and rather than letting that flame kind of burn out of the excitement mm-hmm. for nature, letting it build and build into a bonfire or something that's like so exciting, like devote your life yeah. to birding and do nothing but birding or nature in entomology or botany or whatever
yeah,
nature
absolutely.
Thing
absolutely.
You want to do.
Yeah. And it becomes more evident when we take out school kids, right? You know, they, mm-hmm. they ask about internships with the bird club, and do we know anyone at the zoo that can show them animal handling, and can we come talk to their classroom about this bird, or, you know, and, you know, just, you don't need to, you know, the young folks in America, and particularly around Philly, West Philly, North Philly, South Philly, are just tremendously energetic and thoughtful. And you find that when you take them out to places, they ask questions that they don't necessarily want to ask, because in some cases they don't want to look silly or, you know, seem uneducated on a particular outdoor, you know, question. But once you start answering them, and you answer them with no judgment and joy and jokes and self-deprecation, at least for me, that's how I like to do it. You find that they open up and they really take to it, right? Because in the end, you know, naturally, you know, we are part of this environment as well, right? So our senses were made to pick up on movement and sound and color and smell. And so once you get them out there in that, and you give them the tools, the binoculars, and, you know, you put them in front of a scope, mm-hmm. you know, had these kids, have a ton of stories, but, you know, you're looking at great blue herons, right? And I'm telling them about how they just, you know, they'll snatch gophers out of the golf course dirt, and they will, you know, swallow massive fish and frogs, and you know, and then they're looking at one through the scope, and, you know, the thing looks like a dinosaur, right?
Yeah.
And we're out on this dock, and, you know, everybody's kind of looking around, and then one of them just kind of buzzes the dock, right? Only about 10 feet above where the kids were standing, and they could see and hear that wingspan, right? And it makes that god-awful noise, you know, that croak, right? And like, you feel like you just took these kids to Jurassic Park, you know? And so that in itself, just that experience, right? Even if none of those kids decide the next day that they want to be birders or study ornithology, the fact that they know that they can go to that place, they can see those birds, and they can enjoy that experience or potentially even share that with someone else that they care about, that's really, I think, kind of the juice that's going to make everything kind of crank, you know? So being able to do that and continue to grow that base we were talking about, a potential future conservationist, you're also looking at future scientists, right? And so this is just one of hopefully the many pieces that they'll get through their education around how they can do that, you know?
So have you had a lot of kids that participate, you know, in field trips with you all, and then, you know, bring their parents to like an outing?
not so much that way. We've had trips where we have, we've had a couple, right, where they show up at the outing with their parents, right?
Hey, one is great.
Yeah, right. So we have consistent attendees with parents that you know, the parents and the kids love it. You know, the parents love getting their kids outdoors, and the kids love, you know, being able to kind of explore the space with their own pair of binoculars and, you know, all this stuff. I think in addition to that, we have groups that we've taken out multiple times now from the same school, right? And so some of these students, middle school or high school, have gone on multiple outings. So you learn their names and you know their personalities. And when you see them, it's immediate joy and like community, right? And so, you know, particularly the students that I take out from Belmont Charter High School in West Philly, every time I see them, I'm just, you know, those kids fill up my cup. You know, they are just so thoughtful and vibrant, and to, you know, again, you know, watching an osprey hunt over a small pond in a West Philly park, right? This is not like a vast, you know, impoundment of water. This is a small pond in a city. And the osprey is hunting fish in this pond, and it's landing on the tree, and it's doing its call, and these kids are, you know, loving it. And, you know, you see them asking questions that tells you that it's kind of connecting a little bit. So, you know, between the kids that go back and tell their parents, I want to go to this walk this weekend that they're doing because they just took our classroom out. That's fantastic. And then the consistency we're trying to build with the students that we are working with, so that by the time maybe they, let's say, graduate from that school, they are, they're birders, but it's in their hands, right? And they know that their base back in their own community, you know, even if they go off to school somewhere else or go work somewhere else or go to the armed services or whatever, every time they come home, I hope they know that they can come back to In Color Birding Club and go out and, you know, catch some of that bird joy, you know?
Yeah. So, the leaders that you guys have, so you're one of the leaders, you take the outings. Do you have mm-hmm. other leaders for different sections of Philly that,
so we don't,
leads
we don't,
this area or?
Yeah, no, we don't split it up like that necessarily. A lot of our board, like there's six board members, myself, Katrina Clark, Nicole Seahorn, Hameen, Bernie Wilson, Jeff Kinney, and Angela Detweiler. And we all kind of attend these events in different pockets. There's usually at least four of us there, okay. Regardless of where the event is. And so we'll just spread out among the crowd, you know? And so I have them all raise their hand at the beginning. And what you'll find is that as we're doing the outings, you know, Bernie's a fantastic photographer, you know, birding_W_Bernie. Is his Instagram, and you'll find that the photographers kind of slide back to him, right? And he's talking about the experiences and maybe how to frame things up, and or maybe, you know, something interesting, just a story he wants to tell. Katrina is an educator. She's a teacher in Philly, and so she's just so, especially when we take the kids out, she's got some magic. Like, she knows how to catch children's attention, you know, because she obviously is, you know, educating these kids every day in the city. And so you'll find her answering a lot of questions. You know, she's a natural teacher. I think people are naturally drawn to her because she is happy to educate anyone. Nicole is the mayor of Philadelphia. She is our outreach coordinator. So she is really focused on connecting us with other groups around the city. And I can tell you, you will find no one that is more joyful and grateful to be out birding than Nicole.
So you said she's the mayor of Philly?
Like, really?
I call her the mayor of Philly because she knows every organization. She knows, you know, she knows every grant cycle, and you know, she's just connecting people. And so she works with us. She works with We Walk Philly through the Fairmount Park Conservancy. She works with Girl Trek Philadelphia, okay. You know, and so they're out, you know, hiking, and we've done some joint events with them up at Hawk Mountain, you know, for Black Birders Week and stuff like that. So she's just one of those people that knows everybody and
hardcore
everybody
connected.
Loves her. Yeah. And, you know, the wild part is as connected as she is, she grounds people when they're out, you know, she talks to them about, you know, hey, like, you know, just sit with the bird. Listen to the bird, You know, find your own peace. What does this bird out here mean for you? You know, and it really encourages people to do birding in many ways, outside of other things, find their mental health, you know, or at least help it. So she is the energy for our board every time. So, yeah, she's fantastic. And Jeff and Angela are ambassadors for the Natural Lands Trust, right? So they both are friends of mine. They were the two that I sat and talked with the first time I was thinking about starting the club. And they are, you know, they were the number, I think number two and number four birders in the state last year. Wow. So they're traveling all over. And the thing that they bring is a level of knowledge and direction to folks as they want to kind of get into different pockets, right? So also being connected with the natural lands, they can talk to people about, hey, what does it look like to conserve land for bobolinks, right? What does it look like to conserve land for woodcocks, right? Which are Angela's favorite. people can, you know, a lot of people on our walks, right? They'll slide up to Jeff if they want to maybe work a little bit on their ID by sound, right? And so the best thing I've seen is that, you know, people come on our walks and they're consistent on our walks and they're mostly around the greater Philadelphia area. And then randomly on like a Sunday, I'll see Jeff and Angela in some wild county out in the middle of Pennsylvania. And they'll have a couple people with them from our club that they just got connected with. And they were like, hey, you guys want to come see, you know, these golden wing warblers that breed in this random county in Pennsylvania? Sure. We'll meet up and you guys come up with us. Right. And so, that piece there, you know, particularly, you know, grabbing folks from communities that maybe wouldn't have, connection to where those things are, right? Because it's not always easy to get to it on eBird, mm-hmm. is really important, right? So what you see is with the six of us at the outings, right? There's like kind of little communities that form within those bird walks, right? Where everyone can find a comfortable spot for themselves, right? And kind of if they want to go be a chaser, we can help them be a chaser, right? Talk to them about that. If they want to do more with their backyard birds, or maybe, you know, they want to think about planting some natives in their backyard, we can connect them with people to do that, and show them new spaces in and around the city, you know? So that's how we organize the walks, without having to split up the city too much. I mean, it's a massive city, so six of us wouldn't do it anyway, but.
So, what do you hope for the club in the future?
So in the future, I think we're going to continue our bus sponsorship program. That's going to be, I think, a big thing that we do. So I would have announced this already by the time you guys probably dropped this podcast, but we're going to award 12 buses to, I think, four schools.
Wow.
Through our first campaign. Yeah. And so these buses, you know, are $300 a piece, a lot of them, right? And so the school may be able to fund the lunches that day, and obviously the teachers can create the programming, and like I said, there's plenty of places around that accept students for field trips, and we can provide programming for birding, but the buses is the heavy cost. So through grants, grassroots donations for folks, so especially during Giving Tuesday last year, we're able to fund that, right? And so essentially the teachers tell us where they want to go, and as long as it's a majority BIPOC attendees in school, and it's, you know, to a space, a green space, right, with the students, we will fund it. So I'm hoping that grows a lot more. I'm hoping in the future we can really have, you know, really get our leg of conservation up, you know, how exactly we want to do it, because like I've explained, it has to be integrated into the community in Philadelphia, probably in a little bit of a different way. And just, you know, I have dreams about getting so big that I can quit my full-time job and and do this and still be able to support my family, right? I hope that at some point we can look at other cities that may want to have a similar club, and maybe we can have some, you know, some chapters, you know, across the U.S. or world, you know.
So it's framework really work for people to look at.
Yeah, we've had a couple people ask, you know, how they could set up their own in color in their city. And unfortunately, we're just not ready for that yet. But that is by design, because, you know, when you get so much good feedback on something like this, you want to grow it really fast, and that can be a little dangerous. So, you know, it took us a year to get our 501c3 set up, and you know, we really want to make sure that we are impacting the greater Philadelphia community first before we maybe try to do too many things outside of it. But the hope is that if we can, we can, you know, we can almost provide a little startup packet for other chapters. You know, hey, here's how we kind of, you know, set up our principles around accessibility for people of color. Here's how we partner with other institutions that are doing the same thing. So here in Philly, we have Feminist Bird Club. We have Philly Queer Birders. So we partner with them for different events, right? We have the adaptive birding community, right? So folks that have maybe some mobility challenges that they are being successful working through and are also birders, like, you know, so giving people that packet and then saying, boom, here's some starting funding. You know, I would love to be able to do something like that and say, here's some starting funding to send in your 501c3 application. Here's how you put this in, and here's how you do your taxes. Like, I just really look forward to a space where we can start to do that and expand this message. And you know, obviously, like I said, maybe change the dynamic of the entry point to birding for the entire country.
That's awesome. So if people are in Philly or maybe outside of Philly, maybe they're going to come and visit and stuff like that, how do they find out about when the walks are, where they're at? Like what sort of social media and or website or mm-hmm. stuff do you have out there that people can get referred to?
Yeah. So our website is incolorbirding.org. Right. You can go on there. We haven't put our 2023 schedule up there yet because we're still working through a couple pieces to confirm. But
well, it's cold there in Philly right now anyways. So.
Yeah. But you know what? We did our first outing on January 7th at the Discovery Center, which is the old water reservoir for Philly. And it's like 30 canvas backs and hooded mergansers and buffalo heads and ruddy ducks and piebill grebes. And so, you know, we partner with that with Mid-Atlantic Audubon and the Discovery Center, and we called it weird duck season. So you know, we had hot chocolate, and so we didn't do that last year. We didn't do any winter events last year because it was our first year and we all needed a break. But so we're doing more this year. So you'll see some more pop up in February. There's some cool snow geese action out here where we have like a couple hundred thousand snow geese that show up at a reservoir. So we might take some people out there, but incolorbirding.org.
Okay.
Instagram is incolorbirdingclub, and on Facebook, it's also incolorbirdingclub. And then there's also an incolorbirdingclub member chat on Facebook. So like that's a private group. I mean, private as in, you know, I'm pretty much going to let you in because
but
we're
it is
just, we're just in there like, yeah, it's closed just because, you know, we have the public facing page that, you know, replicates everything that's on Instagram. But the chat is more for like, hey, I saw this weird bird in my backyard. What is it? Right.
Yeah.
And knowing that that's a safe space to bring that up, and no one's going to, you know, we've all been on Facebook pages that have had less than accepting people. Right.
Sure.
So our Facebook page is not like that. So, you know, people are traveling to different countries for, you know, someone is going to Cuba. I saw the other day and they were like, what bird should I be looking for? And I was like, please get a Cuban toady. Like, I was like, if you take a picture of one of those, you'll be my favorite birder for quite a while. you know, but that piece right there, right? The idea that people are traveling and they would have been traveling even if Incolor Birding Club wasn't existed, and now they have that layer of anticipation and joy that they can look forward to on a trip that they know there's these other birds that they've never seen before. Like, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. So those are the three places: Facebook, okay. Instagram, and the website. We have a Twitter, but we don't really use it too much because Twitter is a weird place. But maybe we'll grow that there. you know, we'll see. But it's been pretty good. And then, you know, if anyone has any questions, they can email us or they can email me, jason@incolorbirding.org.
So you said that you have some binoculars that have been donated and you're getting mm-hmm. grants and things like that. But if folks want to, you know, support you all, what ways do you need support?
Yeah, so we can always use monetary contributions, right? That's also on the website. There's a contribute page. If people have good condition binoculars, if they're not using anymore, they can reach out to us and We can probably even help ship them out here if they're from around the country. Those are the biggest two ways, right? Those are the things that I think help most immediately. Obviously, the binoculars, because sometimes we get large crowds and it's nice to be able to give everybody their own pair. But the contributions, because that can go to the bus funding, right? That can go to, you know, special funding. So for example, we work with Hillstar Nature, George Armistead's group out here. And, you know, we work to sponsor people to attend certain trips that he may have, right? And making sure that those are folks that are demographic, right? So we just went on a pelagic Saturday, in which case I was feeding the gulls the whole time over the side of the boat. But
that's my job too.
So, but we've done a couple of those, and we've taken some members on those. So being able to support those trips, and hopefully we can do more. You know, that's really where a lot of the funding goes. You know, luckily we're not in a space where we have to immediately spend everything, which is great. We can kind of make very tactical decisions. So I'm really hoping that in the fall, when we do our bus sponsorship campaign, that we can do twice or three times as many buses like that. I mean, I would be so excited. I would be so excited to see, you know, 30 buses going out in the fall that we're helping with, and these kids now have this experience. Like, so those are the ways, you know, binoculars and, you know, any optics and monetary contributions. Yeah.
Okay.
And cool. Obviously, because we're a 501c3, it's tax deductible.
Yeah.
So
it's important.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. So is there anything else people need to know about In Color Birding before we wrap this up?
Well, I would say that even though we are a single bird club in Philly, there are other institutions like the BIPOC Birding Club of Wisconsin with Dexter Patterson. There is the Oxnard Birders Club out in California with Ed Hell. And so these institutions, these groups are popping up all over the country. And so I encourage people to not be afraid to take the step and do the same thing yourself, even if it's a small group and you only have 10 members. It's going to mean a lot to those 10 members. And I also lastly encourage the existing institutions to really not shy away from the consistency around breaking those barriers and maybe rethinking how some of these organizations came to be, right? There's no reason, like I was, you know, talking about some existing institutions and saying, hey, the future of those institutions are going to be brighter if they have more diverse membership and they have rethought their entry point to those activities, right? And I think a lot of times we get stuck on the history of these institutions as if that's a determinant for the future, and it's not. So we know where this country is going. It's getting more diverse, and we would be fools not to tailor our message to that path, because I really think it's the right one.
Yep. Yeah, embrace that diversity.
Yeah, just jump right into it, like, you know, because it's gonna, I think the institutions that are doing it right now are gonna be served much better 10 years from now than the ones that are, you know, fighting it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking all this time out of your day I know you're super busy developing vaccines and leading BIPOC birders around Philly and all that stuff. I'm glad you were able to take some time out
and
of your day.
And of course, spending time with your family too. Yeah. That's important.
You know, I do that too. I do that too. You know, I take them out birding when they will tolerate me. So.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sitting down and chatting with us for a little while. And we really appreciate what you're doing over in Philly. And I hope that
it
grows
to see,
for you.
Yeah, where it goes.
Yeah, and y'all know if you come out this way, let me know. But I am incredibly honored to be on this with you. I've listened to tons of your podcasts, Women Birders as well, right? Just really appreciated the effort you both have taken to really kind of put some of these folks and institutions out there with your reach. So, thank you, and I hope we see each other soon.
So thank you so much, Jason, for joining us to tell us more about the In Color Birding Club and all of the great things that have happened since it started. You know, like we said, we're excited to see where it goes and hopefully spread, you know, everywhere and give people the opportunities to get connected and, you know, create this community.
And help the birding community as a whole embrace the diversity, not only with the birds, but like you said, of the diversity of people that are experiencing and enjoying and out there having a good time looking at birds.
And one just side thing that I wanted to mention. So Eric and I are, you know, we were park rangers. Mm-hmm. And I worked at a park, you know, that didn't get a whole lot of visitation. And, you know, it was a free park and everything. And, you know, groups like Jason bringing people to those sites, I think really does a lot. Not just, I mean, for the group, of course, you know, and gets them out in nature and gets them engaged and everything, but also for the site themselves, because it gives value to that location, you know, parks and...
It gives purpose for the staff too.
Exactly. Parks and things, they need people to come to them to show, you know, legislators and folks that work at headquarters and all that, that like those sites are important to people. And so if there's nobody going, then it's just really just...
People like the In Color Bird Club and just any bird club in general that is bringing people out to a site that's out there enjoying nature the way that the site was intending on people enjoying nature, like enjoying it.
Yeah.
Really brings purpose to a lot of the staff and a lot of that stuff and gives value, like Hannah said, like value to the legislators and the higher ups that, hey, this is actually a busy park.
The people use it, even if it's not busy.
Yeah, even if it's not busy. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the park that I worked at was on the outskirts of Houston. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of folks, you know, they couldn't travel to Big Bend or, you know, some of these other spots. So the park that I worked at was like their opportunity to go to a state park.
Yeah.
And
they're a little bit of nature.
Yeah. And so that's really what, you know, the purpose of that park was, because like it gave people that location. That's also why it was free, because they wanted folks to be able to visit it, mm-hmm. you know, and have a place within, just outside of the Beltway that they'd be able to enjoy it. And so, yeah, my little sideline is it's very cool that you are bringing people to a site, because as a former park ranger, you know, then it's like, yay, people are here, rather than looking out in the parking lot and seeing nobody.
Yeah. And I wanted to make a quick note. I feel bad, Jason, that we just kind of glazed over your mention of Cuban toddy. I did not know what a Cuban toddy looked like. As soon as we got off the interview, I looked it up and I was blown away, and anybody that sees one of those is also going to be my best friend.
No, don't even tell me if you see it, because I'm going to be so jealous.
Yeah. So I'll put a link to the eBird Cuban toddy, link to it in the show notes, but holy bananas. That is a vibrant bird.
Holy bananas.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. It was spectacular, and I was not even aware of its presence until Jason Hall mentioned it. And
it's shocking that there's 10,000 birds plus in the world, and you don't know all of them.
I don't know all of them. It's weird. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But every time somebody brings up a bird, they're like, oh, this is an amazing bird. I always think, like, how did you learn about it? But, like, this is a situation. Like, now I'll mention a Cuban toddy to somebody, and they're like, how did you know about that? And I can trace it back to Jason, and then I'm sure he has somebody to chase it back to, like, where he learned that information. Or maybe he was just surprised me on eBird and found a beautiful bird.
That's true.
But, yeah, thanks for opening my eyes to a Cuban toddy, and I feel like I need to go to Cuba even more.
Again.
Again.
Yeah. So thank you all for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and maybe learned something. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Music, and anywhere else you listen to us. You can also connect with us on the socials. You can follow us at Hannah Goes Birding and Eric Goes Birding on Instagram. Our Facebook page, Hannah and Eric Go Birding. Our email is hannahandericgobirding@gmail.com. We have other various social medias, which are Hannah and Eric Go Birding.
Sort all of. Related.
Yeah. You can check out our website also, which is www.gobirdingpodcast.com, and you can help share the love of birding with your friends.